The very beginning of the sugyos of Leil HaSeder, Daf Kuf Ches, the Maseches Pesachim, Tosus points out something fascinating about matzah. Now, matzah, Rabbi Weinberg was just talking about Haseba and different items. The first item, the item that the Gemara says most definitely requires Haseba is matzah. And Tosus points out it's actually interesting because matzah is itself sort of an odd blend. And matzah is a sign of Cheres, and yet it's also a sign of Avdus. Rabbi Gamliel, we quote towards the end of Magid, we quote the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says, matzah is al shumah. What's the significance of matzah? A sign of Cheres. And yet, it reminds us of how rapidly HaKadosh Baruch Hu it snatched us out of Mitzrayim when the time was right. At the same time, it's lechem oni. The Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh tells us it's the bread of poverty. That's what it seems like it means. This is what the Jews ate while they were slaves. The simplest of foods. The halacha requires lechem oni, the Gemara says, means that the matzah, leil haseder, can't have any other ingredients. It can't be egg matzah. It can't be grape juice matzah. It means that it needs to be rationed, broken matzah. That's why yachatz has to come first, because in order for it to be lechem oni, it needs to have been rationed the way an ani doesn't eat all this food at once, puts away most for later. So the matzah is sort of a funny paradox. It's a bread of cheres, and yet it's also the bread of oni. So the answer might be that the Gemara has a different approach to lechem oni as well. The Gemara says oni is not only language of ani, of poverty, a bread of affliction, but oni also means speech. Lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. This is a bread of conversation. You say the Magid over the matzah is actually one of the reasons why we can't make a hamotzi right after Kiddush the way we do all year long, is because the matzah isn't yet ready to be used for the mitzvah. Two things have to happen. It has to be broken. Yachas has to happen. So it's the darko shel ani, it's poor man's bread. And then the Magid has to happen. Because the matzah isn't ready to be matzah's mitzvah until it's absorbed the words of the Magid. That's why they keep giving you, they give you the stage instructions in the Haggadah, they keep telling you almost the entire Magid, the matzah is meant to be uncovered. Because the matzah is absorbing the words that we're saying. The matzah is, we're saying the Magid over our matzah. So not only that means that we're meant subsequently to eat our words, literally, in a positive sense. The Zohar and the Sefer Chassidus refer to the matzah as Nahama de Mehemenusa, Mechel de Mehemenusa. It's a food, a bread of emuna. So sukkah, the other end of the year, the sukkah is tzil de mehemenusa, matlalta de mehemenusa. It's the shade of emuna. On sukkahs, our shelter is an emuna shelter. On Pesach, our food is emuna food. What does that mean? It probably means many things, but in part, we're actually eating the words that we say. We don't just say the Haggadah. We say the Haggadah, and then we digest, literally. Digest the Haggadah. Lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. That's what the halacha demands. That's part of lechem oni. It's a din daraisa, pi pashtus. That we're meant to say and then eat, absorb, digest the Haggadah. And it's the talking it out, it's the aniyah, it's the conversation that helps us to put together what seemed like these two diverging, contradictory pieces. On the one hand, the avdus, on the other hand, the cheres. We talk it out. We talk it out. We make sense of it. That's part of what we're trying to do, Leil HaSeder, is to make sense of the contradictions in the stories. Make sense of the contradictions that already were present in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the stories from then until now. The stories of Jewish history from then until now and our own story. Our own stories. We were talking a week and a half ago. I had the chance to discuss Haggadah with the women of our Kehila at the Mevarchin Chodesh Nisan Shir. So we're thinking about the fact that there's a lot going on in Magid, but the main part of Magid, when we actually tell the story, we start with questions, and that's leading up, then we review some of the instructions. Who says Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? When you say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? How much you say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Then we actually get down to brass tacks, the content. The actual telling of the story is built around the four psukim. Rabbi Ovid Avei Mitzrayim Avayanunu. and so on as Vayotzienu. The actual telling of the story is an elaboration on one of the tellings of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Chumash. Which one? One of the last ones. Parshas Kisavo. It's strange. When you look at it in context, Higadke Yom Hashem Elokecha. A Jew, that's really meant to be a summer mitzvah. We think of these psukim Rami Ovravi as spring psukim because we say these psukim Leila Seder. The Torah presents them as summer psukim because a Jewish farmer growing Shivas Haminim on the farm in the backyard is meant to come to Beis HaMikdash over the summer. Ideally between Shavuos and Sukkos, you bring your bikur, you bring your basket, your grapes, your figs, your pomegranates, your wheat, and you bring the basket to Beis HaMikdash. And you say, Arami Ovi Ovi, Vayeri Mitzrayim, you tell this whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim leading into coming to Eretz Yisrael, leading into, and now here I am. And now here's me, Yankel the farmer is here, with a basket of pomegranates that grew on my farm in the past season, and I'm presenting that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, standing in the shadow of the Mizbech. So it's intriguing, striking, of all the tellings of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Chumash, and there are many of them, that the minhag Yisrael is that we choose Mikur Bikurim. The Mishnah says the din requires you have to be holich v'dorish, you have to tell the story in part through taking a piece of Chumash and unpacking it, and slicing and dicing, what does this word mean, what does that word mean, the way we do Rami Ovid Avi, but it didn't have to be that one. Why is it minhag Yisrael is that specifically Rami Ovid Avi? So it could be. So we had a rich conversation a week and a half ago about this. And one of the things that really stands out, you know, every year we think about what could be a theme. And many have found this to be, I'm one of many, many parents who have found it to be useful to think in preparing for the Seder, think like, what's a theme, an idea that we want to hopefully be able to unpack together at the Seder, to drive home, to think about, and hopefully for the Seder to be an opportunity for us as a family, everyone around the table, to think about more and take it with us, take that theme with us going forward, because there are so many themes, Leila Seder. And one of them is what's being highlighted by these psukim, and that is Hodah. Because the Torah tells the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim many, many times in Chumash, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. But this has a context. This isn't just telling the story. Mikur Bikurim is in the context of saying thank you. A Jew shows up, and Baruch Hashem is a successful harvest. We made through the winter, and we had worked hard in the fall. We didn't know what would happen over the course of the winter. Baruch Hashem, spring came, and things were growing. And they're growing beautifully. And Baruch Hashem, we have food. And Baruch Hashem, my farm is working, the land is working. And I come to Kadosh Baruch Hu to say thank you. So that's the first thing that strikes you, is that these psukim that we choose for telling the story are thank you psukim. They lead somewhere. I'm telling the story for a purpose. I'm telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim as a way of getting to not just notice, yeah, here's history, here's what happened, but it matters to me. It's here's the story, Hashem. Hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, one of the participants in the Shir pointed out that Mikur Bikurim was meant to only be said by Jews who didn't experience it. It's only after you come into Eretz Yisrael you're going to have this mitzvah. No one, whoever actually left Mitzrayim got to say Mikur Bikurim. That was the previous generation. Maybe there were a few. Okay, Rabbi Dulles is one Jew. I know. Almost no one. Okay, think about Levim, Kohanim, I understand. Almost no one. It was really built for people who didn't experience it, and yet are saying, it happened to me, like we say, Leila Seder. And from a distance, and yet I feel it. From a distance, yet it's not just out there history, a fact, but it brings me to something. It's connected with a Maisa, and it's connected with an emotion. I'm bringing Bikurim, and I'm saying thank you. And I'm putting it also into perspective. Because that thank you doesn't really seem to have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's another strange thing about this psukim. A farmer shows up to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, well, the story begins. Story begins where? Story begins with three quarters of a year ago I planted. I planted wheat kernels and now it's growing. The story begins hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Yeah, because we're putting things into perspective. because my story didn't start now. I have this land because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this land. I have this land because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael this land. And we've been living on this land. We've been have ups and downs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been with us all throughout. And that's the type of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're looking for Leil HaSeder. Not just, okay, kids, here are some facts. Here's some history. It's connected to me. And it's connected to, it's giving perspective. And it's connected to a feeling of gratitude. The Rambam writes, of Chaim Friedlander points out very beautifully, that when the Rambam talks about Persumei Nisa in the context of Hanukkah, he doesn't just talk about making sure people know the story. The Rambam, more than once, and the Rambam perhaps read this, or Zhulti seems to think, read this into the language of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that Ner Hanukkah Persumei Nisa is referred to as Hoda'ah, as a thank you. Ner Hanukkah is not a thank you. But it is for the Rambam. Because Persumei Nisa, even the Derabbanan Persumei Nisa of Hanukkah, isn't meant to just be, okay, you should know, here's what happened in the past. It's meant to evoke an emotion. It's not just knowledge. It's meant to evoke a sense of thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's true even for the Persumei Nisa Derabbanan of Hanukkah. It's certainly true for the Persumei Nisa Daraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Haggadah, of Leil HaSeder. That's perhaps, I think several Sfarim suggest, that's why we're focused on those psukim. And we put things into perspective. There's a sense of gratitude. And those are, I think, twin themes to think about. Perhaps this year. And the truth is, as you work your way through the Haggadah, you'll notice time and again that this keeps recurring. That we're looking to figure out how things relate to us repeatedly. From the opening lines of Magid, the very first thing we say is, this matzah brings us back to our great-great-grandparents in Mitzrayim. And immediately, we turn around, it's almost like a microcut. We're already doing the Haggadah in miniature. We say, here's matzah, this is our story from 1,000 years ago, and it leads right away into action, and into feeling. Into action of Kadichni Yisiechel, Kadichni Yisiechel, we're bringing people together now. And, Hashata Avde, Hashata Hacha, next year is going to be different. The Grub points out, David Marcos is kind enough to gift me a Haggadah of the Grub. So I saw, he has a beautiful, time doesn't allow us to go into it fully, and on Halach Mahani, he talks about the four different figures who have to give a hodah, who have to bring a carbon todah, and how those relate to the four things that might be lacking, four different types of ani, lechem oni, in the context of halach ma'anya. But one of the comments that Gra makes is that to a certain extent we're saying we are where we were at. They were aniyim in Mitzrayim, and we're still in Golis. We're still halach manya, and we're still hacha, we're still avdei. But the difference is, the Gra says, that we have a stronger sense of future. In Mitzrayim, there was a haftacha pokad yifchod. No one really knew what, when, where. We discussed a couple months ago. Yaakov Kamenetsky says, you know, there was Asei Shitim Omdim, that grove of trees from Avram, from Yaakov. They knew we're going to eventually come out and build the Mishkan with this wood. But it was very... ambiguous. It's going to happen somewhere eventually, somehow. Who knows when, where? We're also in Galus, but we're able to say with more confidence, and certainly in our century, Bizmaynenu Anu, Hashata Hacha, but Lashon Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, Hashata Avde, Lashon Haba B'necha, which are a much clearer sense looking forward. So the Halach Ma'an, you're ready. There's a sense of talking about the story, and they're relating to us. This matzah they ate, and we're eating it, and we're going to act on the kaldich and the kalditzrich, and we feel also that we're in galus, but we see our path forward. And then we relate it to ourselves again and again. We relate it to ourselves, obviously, when we talk, we introduce the story, the actual telling of the story, Rami Ovid Avi, the introduction, of course, as we know, is to speak about Avraham Avinu, to start the story early from Avraham Avinu, from the Bris Ben Absarim, and to remind ourselves that havtacha, al pi pashtus, v'hi shamda, is that havtacha, The promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kept us going throughout the generations. And as we look through the description of the anti-Semitism in Rami Avedavi, and the way in which there was anti-Semitic stories about us, that we're traitors, and that was Paro's lead-in to the persecution, and we see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, that we're noticing that these are stories that are not just being told about what once was, but these are patterns that are going to recur. Patterns of Galus and patterns of Geula. And that's what happens with Rambam Gamliel as well. As soon as we're done with this story, so we turn to relating the story to the mitzvah halayla. Once again, making sure that it's not just a story out there, but it's a story that we feel. And then finally, two last parts of the Maggid. Two last parts of the Maggid, where we see the relating ourselves, finding ourselves in the stories of the Maggid, finding ourselves in the feelings of the Maggid. If there's a machlokas hatanoim, maseches psachim, what the second bracha is supposed to sound like. The bracha on the second coast, asher galanu. So there were tanoim who had a short version. Asher galanu v'gal stavaseim mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Now we're eating matzamar. That was one version. I believe that was Rabbi Tarfon. A bracha katsara. Rabbi Kiva said, no. It has to be a bracha aruka. We don't just talk about the past. Rekiva said, we don't just make a bracha, but this is a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Most of the bracha ends up being about the future geula. A little strange. It's important. It's true. We're hoping for Vardavi for it, but why here and why now? That's what Rekiva is saying. This story is not just history. We're meant to be relating it to us. And it's meant to shape, to feel ourselves in the story. It's meant to shape our feelings of hoda'a, our feelings of excitement for the future. To imagine that in a year from now, we'll be eating Karban Pesach. And there's one other element, a beautiful, highly emotional comment made by the Brisker Rav in his Sefer on Rambam. Because in between Rabbi Gamliel and the Bracha Asher Galanu, something else happens. We say, we quote the Mishnah, the Chayiv Adam Liris is Atzma. We actually mechayiv to feel it, to feel ourselves re-experiencing, feel this night personally, and then, okay, so we're done. But no, then we say Hallel in a very strange way. It's almost like, are we committing? You learn to play baseball, play golf. You gotta to play tennis. It has to be follow through. What's happening here? We sort of start hollow. We say two prakim. Two prakim, one parak. But either way, we start a little bit, and then we sort of drop it and go to Shar Galano, and then later after we eat, we're gonna say the whole hollow. What is going on? What's with this little bit of hollow? And when else do we ever start a hollow without a hollow shalchi, without a bracha? So the Brisker Rav develops beautifully in a Sefer on Rambam based on Iran. He says, this is meant to be a spontaneous halal, it's planned spontaneity, but we're seeking to evoke, if we're feeling like we're going free now, with the Jews at the Yamsa, they didn't have a bracha, they didn't have a planned nusach, they went, they felt, they said. That's what we're trying to tap into. To the extent that over the course of the evening, we're roas atzmenu kilu yatzanu mitzrayim lefikach. As a result, we're going to say some halal. The formal halal will come later. The full nusach will come later. But there has to be just a burst. Thank you. It's thank you all the way through. It's feeling it all the way through. It's the from the halach ma'anya. It's the b'chol dar v'dar. It's the arami over yavi, the psukim of bikurim, the original finding yourself in a story and using it to give expression. Using the larger story of Klal Yisrael to give expression for me personally, all the way through Rabban Gamliel and the Bechol Dar V'Dar and the Lefikach and the Halal and the Asher Galanu that goes forward, and I leave you to think about the following: that why don't you see if over the course of Leil HaSeder you can prepare in advance over the course of Leil HaSeder not only to tell the story But think about finding yourself and sharing of yourself in the Haggadah, sharing elements of your own Hodah, what's happened over the course of last year, for you, for a sibling, for a friend, and to encourage kids to do that, for it to be a night of noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chakasha v'samech.